It is Tuesday, the 5th of January, and the boss is once again late for Talk Shop. This is starting to get a nasty habit.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, work, you, yeah.
Sort of.
Okay. We were meandering. We took the scenic route in this morning. Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, the 5th of January. Yeah.
Pa-dum-bump.
Yeah.
And it's not 2020.
No. No.
Now, whether
hopefully our vision will get better, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any. I'm trying to make a few assumptions.
Yeah. Good. Good. It's always good for a CPA not to do. Mr. McCauley is alongside this morning. We got a new book.
Really? That's pretty exciting. Is this a 2021 book? Is that?
When was this made?
Well, I'm just saying. No, obviously.
No, 1991. So it's still an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Oh, all right. Let's see if we can find something here. Oh, okay. Ever wonder why dimes, quarters, and half dollars have notched edges, while pennies and nickels don't?
You know, as a somewhat of a numismatist, I should know this, but I can't remember now.
Okay. The U.S. Mint began putting notches on the edges of coins containing gold and silver to discourage holders of such coins from shaving off small quantities of precious metals. Before coins were notched, shaving was a common practice, and at one point, the problem was so bad that merchants refused to accept coins without first weighing them to determine their true value. Notching the coins corrected the problem, since any attempt to shave a notched coin would have been easily detected. Dimes, quarters, and half dollars are notched because they contain silver. There's no need to notch pennies and nickels, since the only metal they contain are not valuable enough to make shaving worth the effort. Ooh. Now you got something to put in your collection.
Okay.
What's the coolest coin you have?
Well, probably a 1878 Morgan dollar, 7/8 tail feathers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you look at it regularly, or is this one you have tucked away and it's hermetically sealed?
It's not where I can get to it regularly.
Okay. That's always one of the challenges, I think, for collectors is, yeah, do you get to appreciate it, or do you just kind of feel warm and comfy that you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one. You know, you really have to use them, you know, to see the imperfection in the coin. It's hard, you know, it helps to have a magnifying glass, but it's there. So,
well, and for some of us, we just need a magnifying glass. Thanks for bringing up the age factor, huh?
if that is the only issue you're having, you're doing pretty well.
No. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of issues, what are you hearing? Has there been any kind of resolution at all out of the feds or the state about the upcoming tax season, some of the adjustments or some of the interesting challenges that last year put forth?
Well, as I think most people are aware, as we got into December, Congress, in its normal timely manner, decided it would deal with tax issues. That was probably a little snark that wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
I'll take it back. Anyway, as an aside, it is frustrating constantly dealing with information that arrives late in the game, and that's kind of the nature of the beast with what we do, but it would be nice to be out ahead of it on occasion. So in December, thank you for the allowing me the digression. In December, the Congress got together and
you know our rule here. Fill the time. You're doing a grand job.
Well,
continue.
Yeah. We got a tax law that was passed. President Trump over Christmas did not sign it, and ultimately the tax bill was signed, and of course it got signed kind of the right before New Year's. And we've had New Year's, and so, you know, the analysis of that new tax law is still running a little behind. I'm taking a class Monday and Tuesday and next week hopefully to gather more information about that, as well as all the other little things that have kind of stones that have been left in the middle of the road, to see what we can do about kicking those to the side of the curb, so we understand where to do things and how things operate. It's going to be an interesting year. I suspect it'll start off a little with some fits and sputters.
There was some discussion early on that the state was not going to be reacting quite so much to what the feds were doing. Is that still kind of pretty much the case? Is the state kind of locked in where it is and the variables are at the federal level?
Yeah, I think mostly. One of the big, there were a number of things with the most recent, you know, that December tax bill that passed that were significant. One of them was the $600 per person economic impact payment that, and again, it isn't necessarily, not everybody's going to get it, and it won't necessarily be $600. So understand that. It's a lot like the economic impact payments that were paid in early summer last year, or late spring.
Graduated and adjusted, yeah.
Yeah, they're all tweaked. And so a little bit, depending on where you sit from an income standpoint and the nature of your income. So that was a big deal. And you know, we're seeing that those payments are starting to go out. And that'll be a...
Yeah, we had a couple of surprises in the account. What was it, Monday? Monday or Saturday?
You know, as long as they're deposit surprises, those are usually okay.
Yeah, there was a plus in front of it.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So those things are happening now. And then the big thing, you know, that occurred is some clarification on the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loans, and their taxability from the federal standpoint. And we can probably talk a little bit about what California's is likely to do in response.
Or not. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Mr. Bill McCauley. Billy, before the break, you said clarification, and you said state of California, and you said clarification, and you said federal government. Pray tell, what were you meaning?
Well, Brian, it's nice of you to ask. As we've talked about, and I think it's out, I think there's a lot of knowledge about this, so I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but as part of the CARES Act that passed early in 2020 in response to the coronavirus, a program was created called the Paycheck Protection Program, and it's commonly referred to as the PPP. And the PPP created a facility that enabled banks to lend to their customers and to others, and have those loans be fully guaranteed by the state, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and then ultimately there was to be a process for those loans, if spent for designated purposes, for the loans to be forgiven. And so what that would mean is if a business was entitled to $80,000 of a loan from the PPP. The purpose of the PPP was to keep people working rather than and to keep people from being on unemployment. And the idea was, in a lot of cases that businesses had uncertainties and whatnot that would cause them potentially to let the employees go. In the face of those uncertainties, absent some additional working capital. So these loans were made, and then ultimately there was to be a process for the loans to be forgiven, again, if spent based on those designated purposes. And so that the entire PPP loan was a shapeshifter. That whole element was constantly in flux, particularly as the program rolled out and what the form of the applications were and what could actually be covered, what types of expenses could be included by applicants to get funding. So all
clarifications
this,
and modifications.
It was a very,
yeah.
It was a
yeah.
very, it was a bit like standing on sifting sand, where you were just, you just kind of were waiting.
Sally tries to stand on sifting sand
yeah,
too.
Anyway, it was a bit like attempting to stand on sifting sand, where things were. What you thought you knew today, you kind of had to go check and say, hey, what's changed, when you get to tomorrow. And so ultimately that got resolved, the loans got made, and businesses used those funds to support their operations in this window. And then there was one of the provisions of that portion of the CARES Act, the PPP program, was that the program said that when and if the loan was forgiven, because if the loan isn't forgiven, it gets paid back over time. So if it wasn't spent for the designated purposes, it would have to be repaid. When the loan is forgiven, the loan forgiveness would be tax free. So that sounded like a really, really attractive thing to most people who are going to get the loan. Not only were they going to get a loan, but they weren't going to have to pay tax on when the loan was actually forgiven. The IRS looked at some statutory provisions that they deal with and said, well, there's a rule here that says if you pay expenses with tax-free income, you can't deduct the expenses. So what the IRS came in and said is, well, that's fine, the PPP forgiveness is tax-free, but you can't deduct the expenses, which effectively makes it a taxable, it did away with that provision. And so this went on and on, and Congress and the IRS kind of were a little bit at loggerheads. Congress, different members of Congress communicated with the IRS and said, this isn't what we intended. It's pretty clear from the legislative history what we intended, and the IRS said, we have to do what we do, and we, anyway. So
where was the Treasury Secretary?
I don't know. That's a great question. What was not really commenting on the subject. So ultimately, when the latest bill passed in December, the Congress clarified that forgiveness of PPP loans is tax deductible, and the related expenses that were paid could be deducted. And so that clarified a matter that all of us were kind of unsure about, and it made it very difficult to do tax planning and other things when you don't know. In my example, somebody who got $80,000, are they going to be able to deduct the expenses that were paid for that or not? And that makes a big difference, obviously. And so that we now know that's been resolved, and at this point, PPP forgiveness is not taxable, and taxpayers do not have to reduce their expenses for the expenses covered by the PPP program funds. So that's great, and that's all good news. California, back in 2020, indicated that they conformed to the IRS's position, basically for tax years beginning in 2020. So California
went along for the ride.
They said they were going to they agreed with what the IRS said, and they said that's what we're going to do. So at this point, and we don't believe that it will change, California will not be allowed to deduct those expenses against PPP.
Will not be able to.
Correct.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now, Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 836. We're back talking shop this morning with noted CPA Bill McCauley.
Hey, Brian.
Flat D note.
Yeah.
McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. So with the state of California not recognizing certain things and the feds recognizing the same thing but interpreting it slightly differently, on the business level, okay, what about on the individual taxpayer's point of view? Is there a bipolar personality situation on
always,
that also?
Always. There's always things going on that are just California takes. California tends to chart its own course. And so it makes things interesting to work with the state of California.
Is it almost as if you go left, I go right? You go up, I go down, just antagonistic? Or is there a lack of understanding what these actions or lack of actions really do mean to the regular guy or gal that are out there?
California is used to doing its own thing. California believes, in my opinion, this is dime store psychology, but in my view, California believes it's entitled to be the 1,200-pound gorilla or 2,000-pound gorilla or whatever, do whatever they want because they're the biggest state and they're the economic generator. So that, I think, gives California a sense of entitlement that we really don't have to do, we don't have to do anything because everybody loves us. And, our problems are, are ones we just continually solve. And because we're the Golden State and we can, we're a business destination. That may be changing.
Do other states tend to comply or parallel?
Yeah,
what the federal level does?
Sure. Some of them do it a lot more regularly than California does. I mean, all the states right now are struggling. And the problem is, as an example, when you have a Congress that doesn't act really timely to deal with issues. Oops. And
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
Right here, baby.
On my phone. I don't know who's calling.
Well, it could be one of your partners. Yeah.
It's probably somebody trying to do just that. Anyway, I think some states are. It's a challenge to keep up with the feds because they don't do things. They don't get out in front of problems. It's kind of a just in time mentality that we end up seeing with how.
Well, look at the budget
done.
Process. Yeah. Panic, yeah. Last minute.
Right. Yeah. And so. It to be fair to all the states, it's hard to keep up with the feds because they make changes and then all of a sudden, if you say, hey, we're just going to conform to everything the feds do, you are the tip of the tail of the dog and you're getting wagged all over the place. So you can see why states would want to try to chart their own course at times because it's not necessarily fun to have other parties making decisions for you.
Or just ignore their decisions because you can't wait for them.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. And, so I think, it's easy to be a critic, and I'm probably too good at it in many cases in terms of finding fault with others. I think, to be fair, it isn't, it's a complicated world, and even the smallest state in our union has problems that the rest of us can't fully, most of us can't fully fathom, and so it's not easy. And so I don't think it's fair to necessarily bang on people. That being said, I don't think I don't necessarily think they do a great job either. But so there's the not being fair, I guess, maybe.
How is the stimulus checks going to be treated? Is that income? Is that a gift?
Great question.
Is that a taxable event? Isn't that your terminology?
That was nice, Brian.
Thank you. Well played.
So you'll recall, let's just assume somebody got a $1,200 stimulus payment last June or May or whenever they rolled out. I don't specifically remember. And that receipt is not a taxable receipt. It's not going to reduce any refund that somebody might be entitled to for their 2020 taxes, but it will be information that will be needed to be known for doing the 2020 tax return. And here's why. Because as part of the tax return preparation for 2020, there's going to be a determination. How much were you entitled to? $1,200. How much did you get? $1,200. How much more do you get? Zero. Well, how much? Then you go through and run the calculation again. Well, somebody else might be. How much did you get? $1,000. How much were you entitled to? $1,150. So you're going to get another $150 back with your tax refund, if you have a refund. So the point being, that's going to be information that's going to be needed to know and to be known in order to make a calculation to determine if there's any refundable EIP. Which is and so that's kind of a quirk now, you know, for those of us who work and we prepare many individual income tax returns, we need to know that information for everybody, even if you know, and there is some paperwork. So there was a letter that came when that payment was made. Be nice if, you know, we're hoping our clients will furnish it to us so we can tell what that number is.
The governmental entity is not going to resend at the end of the year.
No.
Like a 1099.
Now, when there was, under the Bush administration, there were some payments that were made kind of in a similar situation. And they did ultimately create a website where a person could go in, and if you knew enough about that person, you could log in and find out how much they would have received. And I don't know if they're going to do that again or not, but... You know, we're asking our clients to provide us information about how much they received. And now there's going to be another one here in 2021.
So we get to hold on to that one for 15 to 18 months.
Right. But, you know, if you're one of my clients, you can give me that notice now. I'll keep it for you or make a copy anyway.
Ooh.
How about that? Quite an offer.
KIS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. When should we start anticipating getting forms? Is it the next couple of days? Obviously, it's in January somewhere. With some of the uniqueness of this past year, are there additional ones we should be looking for other than your magic note?
So, yes, you should be looking for anything that comes in the mail that says important tax document enclosed or some language, something on the envelope like that, and make sure you pull that and set that aside for taxes. Not to say you shouldn't look at everything that comes through to make sure that something that didn't, for whatever reason, get that on the envelope. But, yeah, you can be getting it from now until the end of March or, you know, depending on what's coming in. So, yeah, you should be looking for that and segregating it. If nothing else, get a manila envelope and put all that stuff in one place that comes in. Or
a gathering spot of some sort. Yeah,
correct.
So you've upgraded from the shoebox.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I have an old Foot Locker bag I could use.
There you go.
So, the other thing that people ought to be aware of is this year, and this affects business, this year the 1099 filing requirements for businesses changed. And for years... people who made payments for non-employee compensation, those were payments for services, those would be reported on the 1099 miscellaneous in the box 7 as non-employee compensation. This year they've carved that whole thing out of the 1099 miscellaneous, and there's now they've gone back years and years and years ago. There was a 1099 NEC, non-employee compensation. That's what we're going to have this year. So that is.
So we found the old form and decided it looked pretty good.
Yeah, and I think probably makes some sense because there's some other things that are reported on the 1099 miscellaneous that maybe they don't. Those can be reported a little later, but the 1099 NEC must be filed by the business by January 31st. And interestingly to me and to some, they're going to be filed with the state of California, which California typically doesn't get copies of the 1099s unless they're different. But California has said the 1099 NECs are going to be filed for California businesses with the state of California.
What are they trolling for?
They're trolling for, I believe they're looking for non-resident independent contractors working with California businesses. So let's say my business XYZ Plumbing makes a payment to somebody in Oregon with an Oregon address, they might be able to chase that down and catch some California tax.
Oh, the net. It's air. Oh, boy. Well, hey, enjoy your week.
Thank you.
All righty, bud. See everybody tomorrow.